Germ warfare. According to Section 4.2 of the Hague Conventions, 35 countries first agreed in 1809 not to use projectile weapons meant to spread, quote, asphyxiating and deleterious gases, end quote. Then later in 1907, not to use, quote, poison or poisoned weapons, end quote. All major powers, except for the U.S., ratified the Treaty of 1899, and the U.S. ratified the second treaty in 1907. In 1914, France and Germany used tear gas against one another. Germany then used chlorine gas and other poisonous gases throughout 1915, killing thousands of Allied soldiers. Britain retaliated with chlorine gas. France used phosgene. Austria used chlorine and phosgene. Mustard gas was used by the Allied and Central Powers throughout World War I. Section 4.2 of the Hague Conventions was a failed policy. With the signing of the Geneva Protocol in 1925, it was more formally and explicitly agreed by most major powers that, by 1928, biological and chemical weapons would be banned from international warfare. In 1930, Japan violated the Geneva Protocol and used chemical weapons against Taiwan in battle, as well as using chemical weapons at least 375 times against Chinese troops between 1937 and 1945, at the same time conducting unethical, violent experiments on prisoners of war at Unit 731. In 1942, Italy used mustard gas against Ethiopia. Also in 1942, Roosevelt signed into operation the first U.S. biological weapons program. A few years later, by the end of World War II, many major powers had hundreds of thousands of tons of various chemicals with nowhere to go and nobody to test them on. Nobody outside of their own countries, anyway. From September 20th to the 27th, 1950, the U.S. Navy sprayed two bacteria, Serratia marcescens and Bacillus globigii, from giant hoses on board a Navy minesweeper as they traveled along the coast of San Francisco. Serratia is the bacteria that causes that pink staining on the inside of your shower curtain. According to 43 monitoring stations placed around the city, 800,000 residents received a heavy dose of the bacteria. 11 civilians were treated for infections at Stanford University Hospital, one of whom died. This outbreak, occurring the week after an American city was sprayed with Serratia marcescens by the American Army, was the first ever recorded outbreak of Serratia marcescens in the history of microbiology. The U.S. Army disclosed, 27 years later, during a 1977 Senate briefing, that at least 239 open-air testings had been conducted in at least 8 American cities. From March to April 1952, Operation Dew was conducted from aboard a Navy minesweeper, releasing zinc-cadmium sulfide off the coasts of Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Spraying chemical weapons was proven effective once again, and over 60,000 square miles were affected. For scale, Georgia itself is just about 60,000 square miles. Operation LAC, Large Area Coverage, conducted in 1957 and 1958, was the largest known operation undertaken by the U.S. Army Chemical Corps, and was facilitated by the U.S. Air Force, who loaned the Army a C-119. Loaded with zinc-cadmium sulfide, 5,000 pounds of the chemical were dropped from the C-119 every 85 minutes. In 1958 alone, the C-119 was in the air for a logged 100 hours. This chemical, untested to that point, and still largely untested in 2021, was found up to 1,200 miles away from the drop site, as far away as Canada and New York. The findings of Operation LAC revealed that if the U.S. Army dropped untested chemical compounds from a C-119 over South Dakota, Minnesota, Ohio, Texas, Michigan, Illinois, and Kansas, those compounds would land on and be inhaled by the residents of South Dakota, Minnesota, Ohio, Texas, Michigan, Illinois, Kansas, most other states, and even other countries. Apparently, the U.S. military is able to deploy biological weapons it agrees not to use very effectively. According to studies done on rabbits, the U.S. Army Hygiene Agency concluded that particles of zinc-cadmium sulfide ingested orally were not acutely toxic. In contrast, the vast number of human American citizens subjected to these tests without their knowledge or consent took the insoluble particles in through their respiratory tract, and the particles are, quote, likely deposited in the deep lung, end quote. The Army Hygiene Agency noted, very relevantly, that particles of zinc calcium sulfide did not prove to be irritable to the skin or eyes of rabbits. Also based on zero human studies from the same branch of the military that conducted these experiments on unsuspecting American civilians, it was noted that the risk of lung cancer from the non-soluble chemicals deposited in deep lung tissue was, quote, likely to be very low, end quote. In 1966, quote, a series of trials were conducted in three major north-south subway lines in mid-Manhattan, New York City, end quote. To better examine and understand these trials, I'd like to read a fascinating excerpt from the 1975 Senate Select Committee to Study Governmental Operations with Respect to Intelligence Activities, colloquially known as the Church Committee, during which much of the government and military-sanctioned secret experimentation on American civilians came to light. During this session in 1975, Senator Haar of Colorado questioned Charles Sensney, a DOD employee, formerly working at Fort Detrick, Maryland, one of the two primary bases for the U.S. Biological Weapons Program, about his involvement with the covert New York City subway trials. The following conversation is a quoted back and forth between Haar and Sensney that took place during the Church Committee. Senator Haar, are you familiar with the so-called vulnerability study or experiment on the New York subway system? Mr. Sensney, I participated in that. To what extent did you participate? I rode a subway and sampled the air. How was the study or experiment conducted? Well, there was one person that was the operator, who rode a certain train, and walking between trains, dropped what looked like an ordinary light bulb, which contained biological simulant agent. And then the next train came by and, of course, it would stir up the air. So by driving over it at, say, 60 miles an hour, and this was continuously done by certain subways, and it went quite well through the entire subway system, because we started around 14th Street and sampled up as far as about 58th Street, and there is quite a bit of aerosol all along the way. Just from one light bulb. One light bulb. Were the officials of the city of New York aware that this study was being conducted? I do not believe so. And certainly the passengers weren't. That is correct. At whose request were these two studies conducted? I'm not sure whether it was requested or whether we did it on our own. What other kinds of studies did you conduct besides the subways and the FDA building? Well, there have been quite a few. Well, name a few of them. Well, McGuire Air Force Base, it was requested by the Air Force to see how vulnerable they were to biological attack. That's right, and the Pentagon and the White House. How was the White House study conducted? I do not know that one specifically because I was not involved. They had leaky filters in the White House. Now, Mr. Sensney, in these studies, was there discussion, to your recollection, of the actual use of these kinds of capabilities offensively? The main thing was to determine the vulnerability of our country to biological attack through covert means. But was there discussion of using this kind of capability against other countries? Not to my knowledge, no. I refer to page 14 of the document you have before you. It says, quote, from limited consultation with design engineers, it should be possible to develop simple guidelines for planning and attack on a group of people that work in a building constructed with a circulating, chilled drinking water system." End quote. That does not say a defense. It says attack. If you are going to have a defense, you have got to have an offense, I suppose. Your testimony is to the effect that these experiments, or your participation in these experiments, was for defensive purposes only. That is correct. And with no discussion of creating a capability to use against someone else. Well, you have to realize that Dietrich, the overall Dietrich, was to do things for the army. That is, in terms of offense. End quote. In this single conversation, in a document hundreds of pages long, with many similar conversations and disclosures, a U.S. government scientist confirmed his involvement in the U.S. weapons program, that there were many trials conducted, that these trials were conducted on American citizens without their knowledge or consent, and that the focus of Fort Dietrich in Maryland was to, quote, "do things for the Army in terms of offense," end quote. Many of those hundreds of tests occurred more than once. Each operation could be composed of multiple sub-operations and conducted multiple times and over multiple days, as Operation Sea Spray, Operation LAC, and Operation Dew were. Project SHAD, an aerosolized bioweapons release experiment using much more dangerous chemicals and bacteria than mentioned previously, under Project 112, was repeated at least 43 times. As far as the dispersed biological weapons being simulants, documents from Project 112 and Project SHAD, beginning in 1962 and undisclosed until 2000, disagree. These projects were vulnerability tests on specific vessels or towns conducted without the consent of the subjects, that is, American soldiers on board these vessels and civilian residents. Frequently, one of the warfare agents would be released on a ship, with or without warning, and then the consequences of and response to the biological or chemical weapon would be recorded. Many agents were used in at least 18 experiments of Project SHAD, including the biological weapons Coxiella burnetii, Francisella tularensis, Staphylococcal enterotoxin B, Escherichia coli, E. coli, the nerve agents sarin gas, VX, Tabun, and Soman. These are all severely toxic biological and chemical warfare agents, and after almost 40 years of secrecy and denial by the DOD, Operation 112 and SHAD were exposed and disclosed via Freedom of Information Act inquiries, and the Veterans Affairs Department is today asking all living suspected participants to come forward and seek guidance for any health concerns that may be related to these operations, if they are still alive 38 years after these experiments took place. The fact sheets released by the Army detail the locations and agents used in the Project SHAD tests, all the way from zinc cadmium sulfide in Canada to sarin gas and E. coli in Hawaii. Here are the symptoms of the harmless compounds tested on Americans at least 18 times in this single sub-project. Coxiella burnetii causes what's called Q fever, with broad symptoms of nausea, fever, headaches, and extreme fatigue. Up to 15% of cases become chronic. Some patients with Q fever present with pneumonia, vascular problems, granulomas, hepatitis C, and neurological damage. Francisella tularensis results in tularemia, presenting with skin ulcers, gland swelling, a sore throat, mouth ulcers, tonsillitis, a cough, chest pains, and difficulty breathing. Staphylococcal enterotoxin B can cause nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, dry cough, shortness of breath, chest pain, fluid buildup in the lungs, fever, chills, headache, and muscle pain. There is no treatment. Sarin, VX, Tabun, and Soman are artificial warfare agents that can cause nausea, diarrhea, headaches, vomiting, slow or fast heart rate, fainting, convulsions, paralysis, or death. Hundreds of operations, comprised of sub-operations, were conducted, and millions of American citizens affected by the U.S. Army testing biological weapons on Americans. Many operations under this bioweapons program were conducted secretly, and without legislative or civilian oversight, or any sort of foreknowledge. As a brief note, I stated earlier that the U.S. keeps the best records. But the U.K. conducted their own trials, depositing zinc-cadmium sulfide by both air and land devices all over their island. The British military conducting these tests on their own citizens were instructed to tell inquirers that they were, quote, part of research projects into weather and air pollution, end quote. In 1942, the Scottish island Gruinard was used as a testing site for anthrax and was rendered uninhabitable by the deadly poison released by the UK Ministry of Defence for close to 50 years. The Ministry of Defence of the UK also sprayed aerosolized Bacillus globigii and Escherichia coli from a military ship into Dorset. In 1956, the same bacterias were released in the UK under government buildings and inside British subway systems, traveling about 10 miles from the location of dispersal. These tests happened all the time. In the U.S. bioweapons program, there are hundreds of projects listed over the 27 years from its inception in 1942 until 1969, when Nixon declared the U.S. bioweapons program ended. Except, naturally, for, quote, defensive measures and safety measures, end quote. We know about some of these projects thanks to declassified documents, Senate committees, and curious citizens taking advantage of the Freedom of Information Act. The Freedom of Information Act is an amazing and empowering policy that has allowed Americans to see what happens when there is no oversight of governmental, military, and agency operations. No regulations on how severely or how often our human rights are violated. We can and should learn from our mistakes and build a country we can be proud of. Elect compassionate, intelligent leaders into a strong and fair government, and make sure that it develops considerate policies that we, the people, approve of and stand for. Stay informed, and most importantly, help each other.